Now, O Lord, take my lips, speak through them. Take our hearts and minds, think through them. Take our hearts, set them on fire with love for yourself, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Those are the words from Psalm 63. They really start where I want to show my thoughts tonight and today. I really would like to have you go on a journey with me. To do that, please, for a moment, everyone, close your eyes, please. Now, just relax and listen to what you hear around you. You might hear the hum of the amplifier. You might hear the road and people on it on Fisher Hallman. You'll hear others moving around and breathing. But what you've just heard as well is silence for yourself, a chance to think. Maybe it's even the deafening silence. Come on back with me. So, have you ever had the chance to get so far away from everyone, everything, that the annoyances of everyday life, and get out of it just a little while so you could be out there? Maybe it's a special place for you in nature. Maybe you've got a park that you go to. Maybe it's a meadow that you grew up in. Maybe it's walking the dog on the beach. Maybe it's sitting in a hammock relaxing. Or for others, maybe it's in music. Maybe it's in a song, that one that you just, it takes you away, that piece, no matter what you is going on, when you hear it, you have that moment of just you. It's losing yourself inside those moments that allow you to be able to hear things. It's incredibly hard now to make the kind of time and space for yourself where nothing and no one will intrude, where the silence becomes deafening. These are the moments that we need to search for. We all need them. Last week's gospel spoke of Jesus trying to travel through Samaria to Jerusalem. A little bit of geography to make it a little more effective, because when I learned this, it made everything so much clearer. Up here, we've got Nazareth, you've got Galilee. Here's Jerusalem. Here's Samaria right here. On the left side, you've got the West Bank of Israel, and you're going more into desert over here. So, straight line, straight down, most effective way to travel. One reason. There's nothing around it. Look on Google Earth. No trees, a lot of rocks, a couple snakes, not much scrub, no people, no nothing. Desolate desert valleys, inhospitable. Jesus wanted to go that way intentionally. What happens if we take it in understanding that he may have been going that way for that solitude? For that reason, that's one of the reasons for the journey, for that solitude, so he and the disciples could hear God. Even he, then, understanding the need to be without distraction, to be able to hear clearly. This morning's gospel is a very familiar one, I'm sure, to all of us, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Today, it is speaking as strongly as it did 2 millennia ago. To really understand some of the backstory and what's happening inside, we need to really look at why Jesus chose the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan. Let's start with the Samaritan. Who are the Samaritans? Samaritans were despised by the Jews. They were known as half-breeds, half Jew, half Gentile. When the northern kingdoms were conquered by the Assyrians, they intermarried and diluted the blood. They were assimilated. Not only that, they assimilated and adopted the idolatry of the Assyrians, thus separating them even farther from the Jews. The hatred was obvious even then, because as the Jews were going to Jerusalem to rebuild their temple, the Samaritans would go and pour pig's blood all over the building base and start there. Think of the weather, think of the heat, and think of the what pigs mean and pork means in the Jewish culture. It had to be ritually purified and cleaned all over just for them to get back to where they were. There was no love lost there. Although the road was straight from Nazareth to Jerusalem, right through Samaria, generally they would go around it, taking a longer route because they were unclean. So why did Jesus choose to illustrate an unclean enemy of the Jews as the one who heard God? Let's talk about the priest now. We're going to assume it's a Jewish priest. Otherwise, likely it would have been said otherwise. So, priest is walking down the road. Injured man. No, I think I'll go this way. Why did he do that? Maybe he's afraid that this is part of a trap. Maybe this is, there are more bandits around, they're going to get me too. Point one, possible. He had been ritually purified for discharging his duties at temple. He had been bathed, he had gone through the various steps of the purification. And if he had gotten blood on him, he has to go through that again. So that might have been part of it. But I don't really want to associate with that or be associated with it. No, thank you. It's just beneath me. I've got a job to do. That's one. The Levite. The Levite is a scholar of laws. As we just heard in Deuteronomy, the first and greatest law of all, love God with all your heart. The second, love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus had been preaching that since the beginning. There is no way the Levite, scholar of laws, would not have heard that. But he ignored it. There is also a law within the Jewish community, a written law that if you come across a wounded person needing help, you render assistance. Nope, not going to do it. He ignored it. Why? Let's talk about the why of why they did this. As I said, could have been a fear of being robbed, fear of being caught in a scam. How many of us have looked upon somebody begging and said, not today, I don't trust them, I don't know what'll happen to me? Maybe it's for the priest, it was a fear of having to be ritually purified again, going through the process of getting ready for temple again. Maybe. Possible there. For both the Levite and the priest, associating with that? Ew, no. The Levite doesn't even get the excuses of the priest because he knows the law and ignores them. In the commentaries from Pathios and others, it comes down to pride, it seems. Pride is one of the most deafening things we are experiencing. With pride, you really can't hear much. Yet it's a despised enemy who sees the wounded man and says, I need to help and do something. He heard. Matthew Henry has a commentary on the parable, which brings up a couple of really interesting and challenging points. Over the last several months, we have been talking about the parable of the prodigal son. We've been hearing about it in the Gospels, but there's a really interesting connection between the Levite, the priest, and the older brother. The older brother, I'm not going into the banquet. I have done everything right. I have followed the rules, the law. I have done everything. Why should my share now be diminished because of him? Come, son, your brother is back. No, I've done it right. This is wrong. Can you hear pride there? He had been so intent on following all the rules, everything, that pride became his block, that he could not see it. By pride, we deafen ourselves to God. By focusing on the little things in everyday life and ignoring bigger issues, say like love and forgiveness, we blind ourselves to God. I'm going to take in a journey now, as I said. It's 1983. I was blessed to attend the World Scouting Jamboree in Kananaskis, Alberta. We get in there, have driven across Canada to get there as opposed to flying, and it's been some of the most wonderful experience. We get in there, scouts all around us, amazing time. The most powerful moment happened when we went on our overnighter, where we, just 15 of us, scouts and leaders, go up the mountain slightly into the foothills of the Rockies, Mount Laurie, if you want to look it up on Google Earth, and it was an amazing experience. Sky, blue, dotted with some clouds, air you can't smell any pollution in, and just colors that are jumping out. They're so vivid and vibrant. We had hiked most of the day, had our supper, and then it's time for sleep. 15 by 20 tarp, just up in the tree, all of us on sleeping bags, in sleeping bags on a ground sheet underneath, no tents. Forgot one thing about the mountains. Sunrise. At 5-something in the morning, I looked. There's no way you're not getting up. Until you hear, "Don't move, Grizzly and her cub." Look uphill. Oh, Mama Grizzly. Cub. 15 scouts and leaders in sleeping bags doing their best not to look threatening and not to look like they came as pre-wrapped burritos from Canadian Tire and Mountain Equipment Co-op. For some reason, the rest of that morning is a bit lost. Might be an adrenaline rush. Could be, I don't want to go there again. That was not fun. But we stopped for lunch. We had two choices at this point because we're ahead of schedule. Seems we hiked rather quickly after that. We can either hike down to where our pickup point is, or we can explore a bit around here and instead of waiting for the vans to come and pick us up, just see what's around here. We chose the latter. We chose to explore. So I go up on my own a bit, 150, 200 feet over that way. I came across a glade. I didn't understand the significance of it then. I'm starting to now. In this glade, you've got the grass. It's green. It's fresh. It's vibrant. You've got the trees over there, the pines. The birds are in them just chirping. Sky with the mountains dotted with snow on the top, clear. Sun is up there. A glacier-fed stream burbling straight through. It was so cold and fresh, I got an ice cream headache from the water. But it was also silent. It was deafeningly silent. No other persons around. I was alone with my own head. I had a chance to hear. I heard something. I didn't know what then. I'd had my first moment of actually encountering and understanding God being there. It's only in the last few years that I've really actually been able to pick it up and understand that that's what happened. So I'm alone, as I said, just me and my thoughts and then something. So much life, so much vibrancy around me, I'm overwhelmed. I don't have the words even now to express what I was experiencing. But that silence, I could hear in. That silence and that lack of distraction, I could see in with a clarity I've never experienced. Psalm 63, which I quoted at the beginning, is far more eloquent than I can be. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips when I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul thirsts for you. I seek you, and my soul thirsts for you. When you can hear him. The hymn we just sang. As the deer panteth for the water, my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire. Says it pretty well. So, we know we need to hear God. What's stopping us? What's distracting us? Pride? I got some. I'll own it. It's there. It happens. Economy? Anybody at all afraid of what's going on and with your own finances or everything else? How about politics that includes fear and division right now? How about that as being something that's getting in the way? How about the environment? It's making itself known every day in various places in various ways. Are you hurt? Are you injured? Either physically, soulfully, or mentally? We all have these things going on. What about family problems? Anybody got a perfect family? So these things stop us from hearing because we have to deal with them. All of these are part of our everyday lives. We cannot escape them. How we deal with them, though, is what we can control. Hands up if you are able to control the weather. Okay, no Harry Potter fans, good. I heard a phrase recently that still resonates with me. Don't let your today be destroyed by your yesterday. What happened yesterday happened. You can't control that now. You've got to move forward, and those distractions, yesterday was the distractions. Yesterday was the things that are getting in the way. Forgive yourself. At the end of the day, don't carry it to tomorrow. I'm not saying we're all going to be able to live a perfectly open life 100% of the time. I can't. That doesn't work for me. It's just not going to happen. We can try. I'm saying, however, and please, think on, my God, my soul thirsts for you. As we understand, we all need to find a time, a place, and a way to seek God, to be able to hear Him and His presence. Music, nature, sewing, cooking, sitting in a hammock by the lake, watching baby skunks play around your bird feeder, taking in a meteor shower as you're laying on the picnic table on your campsite. We all need to find a quiet place in nature to be at one with God. And we can, if we cannot do that, we must learn to create that space in our own heads. 5 minutes. Just find a way to turn off the world for 5 minutes. Sometimes it's incredibly hard. God, open my ears to hear the sounds around me, the sounds that wake me to your beauty and grandeur of your wonderful world. My soul thirsts for you. Amen.